Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
If it's still your Monday, well, I feel you because it's still my Monday. It was a Monday. I tried to wake up early because it was a holiday. My husband was working, but I wanted to watch some of the inauguration and wanted to see the swearing in live, but I couldn't wake up that early. It was a bit of chaos when I walked in the door on Monday morning, so I got home a lot more quickly because there wasn't nearly the traffic that there is coming out of New York City. A lot of times, and people don't believe me when I say this, already at 6 a.m. Eastern time, when I'm leaving New York City after the show, there's a 15 to 20 minute backup to get into the city already. So that's how early the commute starts and how early the traffic builds. And by the time I get out of New York and into New Jersey, the traffic's already pretty crazy there on what is the turnpike and then closer to my home. And so a lot of times it'll take me until 6:45 a.m. to get home. But I was home a lot earlier because there wasn't nearly the traffic on Monday morning. So I was pretty excited about that. But for some reason, and just so you know, this is the process. When my husband wakes up, he usually sends me a text. Sometimes it makes no sense because he's half asleep still. But he'll send me a text. Good morning. How are you? How was your night? And I didn't hear from him. Now, I know that because it's a holiday, you know, he might have been inclined to hit snooze a few times. We're both big snooze button people. Pete, what would you say on average is the number of times you hit snooze? I know you're also a person. It's a little harder for you to wake up sometimes.
I would say three.
Okay.
And then have other alarms set up.
So before Pete started working here, he used to have producer Jay send him a text, or was it a phone call, to make sure that you were awake?
Was just ring the phone.
Okay. So Pete is a multiple time snoozer. I've been known to hit the snooze button five times. The problem is that once I hit it five times on my phone, it erases the alarm. So now that part is in my head. So I'm generally three to four times. And I do try. I just never, ever, ever wake up on the first snooze or the first alarm, I should say, which is why I always set it back a little earlier. Anyway, so I thought he just hit snooze a couple of times because I hadn't heard from him. So I back up to the house, or back up in the driveway. We've got 6 inches of snow. It's cold. The temperatures have plummeted. I see no lights on in the house. Okay, maybe he's in the back of the house, or let the dogs out the back because we have the fenced-in backyard where they go out first thing in the morning. And I open up the door. I have to unlock it. Sometimes he unlocks it, so it's still locked. The dogs are greeting me at the door. I'm talking to the dogs. I do not hear him. He doesn't say hello. I'm thinking, uh-oh, something's wrong now. So I'm like, babe, hello, good morning. And I hear a hi. Poor guy. Hey, where are you? I'm upstairs. Okay. Are you okay? Oh, how did you sleep? There was more of a groan. So apparently Flower, and sometimes Flower licks the floor, which I don't know what she was licking. Sometimes she eats grass. Don't know what she was eating, but she threw up in the middle of the night. So on Sunday night into Monday morning, apparently three times, with about 15 minutes separating each incident, she threw up from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. So it's right in the middle, probably, of his REM sleep. He hears the dog throw up. He gets up. He cleans it up. Goes back to bed. Flower throws up again. He gets up. He cleans it up. He goes back to bed. Third time it happens. Same thing. So then he just, this is like something you'd see out of a really bad comedy movie. He's cleaning it up with toilet paper because that's the thing that's most readily available for him. He decides he's going to flush that down the toilet. Well, we have an old house with some old pipes, and our upstairs toilet frequently clogs for no reason whatsoever. There's nothing in it. It just clogs. It did with the toilet paper and overflowed all over the bathroom floor at 4-something a.m. in the morning. So poor guy was a mess on Monday. So he went to bed pretty early. I was watching he did watch the football game with me for a little bit. We were watching some of the other stuff that was going on. But yeah, it was one of those manic Monday days. Holiday did not provide any relief for him at our house. But I walked the dog and I did the shoveling so he wouldn't have to go outside because he doesn't really like the cold. I hope that you're surviving and that you enjoyed your weekend, your Monday, a little bit more than that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll have your candidates for TD of the Week coming up. So you want to make sure you find our show Twix at Amy After Hours. You can always vote in our polls. They originate there. Also on our Facebook page. And let's go back to our phones, 855-212-4227. Roger is listening in the Pacific Northwest in Washington. Roger, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Holy cow.
Holy cow.
Yeah. A couple things I noticed about football this year. College football, the two teams that played tonight probably wouldn't be even in the Final Four in previous years. You know what I'm saying? For Notre Dame losing Northern Illinois and Ohio State losing Michigan and Oregon in the regular season. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you, especially with the way that Ohio State played against Michigan and the fact that it was the Buckeyes' last game of the year. So they didn't make the conference championship game, which means that's the last the committee saw of Ohio State. So I would agree with you. Having two losses in a four-team playoff more often knocked you out. Now, not always. I think Alabama got in once with more than once with two losses, but I'd have to go back and look, so don't quote me on that. Yeah. But you're right that. And Notre Dame, now see, the thing with Notre Dame is the Irish lost in week two and got really good after that. And they had already had the big win over Texas A&M. At the time, it was a big win. So I don't know. They had a lot of weeks to be able to make up for that loss. So a one-loss team wouldn't automatically be eliminated. But if you're looking for just four teams and you've got four teams with each one loss, well, then you got to evaluate the loss, right? And so you're right. It could have kept both these teams out, though. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, and a couple other things. I think they should have Northern Illinois play Michigan for the championship. Both those teams beat the two teams tonight.
Funny. I can imagine that would be a real winner.
And it seems like most of these regular bowl games are more competitive than these championship series. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some of them, for sure. And I think that maybe at times they're matched up a little more evenly, as we talked about with Ralph. The seeding wasn't great and kind of left us with some lopsided matchups.
Yes. And football, NFL, it's got to be careful about getting oversaturated. You know what I'm saying? I remember back when I followed it in the 70s and 80s mainly, it was like three games in three time slots. One p.m., 4 p.m., and then Monday night, you know? Now it seems like it's just one game after another, leading into another.
That is true. And the NFL, I said this during the 2020 year when they played on every single day of the week that they were not going to go back. I was confident that we were going to see games every day of the week. And now they've done it, right? They played on Christmas, both a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
8 days a week, but there's only 7 days in a week, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
You have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Roger. Good to talk to you. Bob is in Calgary in Alberta. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hi, Amy. I'd like to make a few comments about the game.
Okay.
A few comments about the TV production.
All right.
So I'm a graduate of Notre Dame and Ohio State. I can tell you that I was rooting for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wearing my Rudy jersey, so I really was rooting for Notre Dame. Because they were the underdog by 9.5 points. And the field goal at the end made the difference on the point spread.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So for Notre Dame, the problem they had is they lost four starters on their defense through the year, and that showed up at the end because they had younger players. They had older players, very experienced, very skilled players from Ohio State playing against some of the younger 18, 19-year-olds from Notre Dame. In the end, it made just a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
The opening drive for Notre Dame, I was shocked as to how the quarterback all the time. It worked. It looked like Army or Navy running the ball, but they really beat up Riley Leonard. Boy, he really took a beating there. And then Ohio State came back. Their receivers were faster. But also I thought the skill between the defensive players for Ohio State and Notre Dame's receivers was amazing. Each of them could have had the ball a number of times, and they kind of were trying to snatch it from each other. But then they got up, and they kind of gave some credit to the other player. I thought that was good. At the end, Notre Dame.
Yes.
trying to kick the field goal. Anyway, I'll let you talk or ask some questions if you want.
Oh, no, I think it's interesting that you went to both schools. Actually, we had some players now with the transfer portal that had gone to both schools in this playoff, right? So the Texas quarterback had gone to both schools in the semifinals. Anyway, it is definitely a different landscape in college football. Notre Dame, as much as they had lost the players on defense, I would agree that was a big challenge, but you know, their game plan all year has pretty much been the same, though. Run the ball, stop the run. Run the ball,
right.
Defend.
Right.
And what we wondered about in the national semifinal against Penn State was, and I talked about this with Mike Golic, who is another very prominent Notre Dame Fighting Irish alum. He had said, hey, if they fall behind, the issue is whether or not they can throw the ball to catch up. And I did think Riley Leonard and the offense showed different wrinkles, and we got to see that attack. We got to see them more with the downfield mentality. But then that opening drive clearly showed that they were going back to what had been their bread and butter most of the season. That drive was a mammoth. It was major, but it's hard to sustain. And so once you give the ball back to Ohio State, then it became clear. A little more talent, a little more explosiveness, a little more of the athleticism. And it was just a little more. But to go up 31-7, that puts you in such a big hole.
Right. Yep. Yep. Now, Notre Dame's left, which is the left side. He played ever since the first game of the year. They thought he was going to be really good. Hard time with defensive end there.
Mm. Bob, sorry, your phone is kind of breaking up.
Nothing went to left would work for a run.
Sorry, your phone is kind of breaking up a little bit, but it's good to talk to you. I hope that you enjoyed the game, even though you were wearing a Rudy jersey, and that showed where your heart is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Bill is in Ohio. Welcome to our show, Bill.
Good morning. I just wanted to talk about the broadcast for ESPN last night. I have cable at my house. I went to my girlfriend's house to watch the game. She doesn't have cable. She's not home very much. And I pay for ESPN. I pay for Disney. I have all the streaming networks. Usually I just turn the game on and we mirror it on the TV.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, last night, unless you had cable, you weren't able to stream the game.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
So I pulled up my ESPN app and I went to the game and it said, choose your provider for TV, even on my app on my phone, and I wasn't even on the Wi-Fi, and it wouldn't let me stream the game. So I didn't get to watch the game.
Oh.
I've been a Buckeyes fan since I was a kid. I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, so I was going to stay up to watch the game, and I couldn't get it to stream on anything unless you had cable. And I just wanted to call and vent about that a little bit. You can't call ESPN. They don't care. They're making too much money. But I just thought it was really crappy that I pay for ESPN and then I have to pay for cable and Disney, all three, just to watch a game which was on ESPN.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of an injustice to fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, true. However, I am willing to bet, and I'll do a little research on it, but I'm willing to bet that it was done that way on purpose so that people would either have to sign up for the service, would have to sign up for cable, and so that when ESPN/ABC/Disney went to its advertisers, its corporate partners, they could say it's exclusively here. This is the only place people are going to see it. It's easier to track, obviously easier for them than to when they're charging ad revenue or trying to figure out how many people are paying attention, how many people saw the ads. And I would agree with you that that's kind of a low blow, but I think the idea is if streaming, so think about it from the opposite perspective, if Amazon Prime, if Netflix, if some of these others like Peacock who are getting exclusive rights to games and they're streaming and people are flocking to them, and this is NFL, so it's a little bit different, but the numbers that Amazon Prime is pulling in this year for its NFL games, the numbers that Netflix has done for its streaming, these numbers are massive. And so if The idea would be if people are willing to sign up for streaming services just to watch these games, one or two here or there, or in the case of Prime, once a week, then what if we can make the reverse happen and people only have one place to get this, so can we get them to re-sign up for cable?
Well, I agree with you there, except that it's advertised on ESPN that if you have the app, you can watch the game. So I have the app, and I pay for that every month. And then when I go to watch the game, it tells me now I have to, you know, I would have to have signed up for cable at my girlfriend's house. Well, I have cable at home, so I could have watched the game at home, but at her house, I have ESPN that I pay for.
Right, I got you.
And I still couldn't watch the game. So they're telling me now I have to pay for cable and ESPN in order to stream the game, which they advertise as you can watch the game on ESPN.
Gotcha.
So I was a little disappointed by that. I thought, well, I'm not paying for cable for a one game, but I already pay for ESPN, and I can't watch the game. It didn't make sense to me, and I thought it was an injustice to people who pay for that streaming service.
I would have packed up my girlfriend and said, let's go back to my house.
Well, I thought about that, except it's a 45-minute drive.
It was on radio, Bill. It was on radio. I heard it.
Finally did.
Yeah, I heard it on radio, though, multiple places, so that's another option, too. Yep.
I just wanted to vent. I was a little upset last night, and I'm driving to work now, and I was just more and more angry.
Oh, I'm sorry. That does stink. Yes, these exclusive rights deals, they have these stipulations, and now because of the fact that people can steal it or pilfer it or, you know what I mean, find streaming that is maybe not authorized, I know that these different services are cracking down.
Yep, and I understand all that, except, you know, it kind of rolls downhill to the people who actually pay for it, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Anyway, have a good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Bill. By the way, if you didn't see the game, I am absolutely 100% certain that it will be replayed over and over on the ESPN family of networks. In fact, I've got it up in my studio right now. So I meant to turn it on to tennis, but I'm still on main ESPN, and they are just kicking off I think late stages of the first quarter, so right after Notre Dame had scored the touchdown. So yeah, it's happening. You should be able to without any trouble. Was that Bob in Ohio? Bill in Ohio, you should be able to catch it. I know after the fact you already know what happened, but you should be able to catch it at some point if you wanted to run a DVR on it. Or no doubt now it's online. It's just wrong. Our friend Chicago Johnny is listening in Vegas. Welcome to After Hours.
Morning, Jamie.
Hey.
First of all, I know I'm wrong. I was wrong. But I do have a reason, because the Bears didn't know that Detroit was going to be eliminated so quick. So they did have a backup of having McCarthy as their pick to be their head coach.
A backup, huh?
But they always did what's his name?
Mike McCarthy or Ben Johnson? Oh, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, Ben Johnson. He always did want Ben Johnson, but they didn't know if they're going to be able to get him because they wanted to wrap it up this weekend. So that's what I was told.
Gotcha. So you're saying that they would have, quote unquote, settled for Mike McCarthy if the Lions were still playing?
That is correct.
That was your report.
Now, I got a football question for you. Now, I want to see how well you know football.
Oh, no.
During a regular season game in pro football, how many footballs does each team get to use?
How many actual footballs? In like the number of footballs?
How many actual footballs does each team get to use? Because they both don't use the same football.
No, you're right. Are you talking about a single game?
Yeah, just a regular game. How many footballs does each team get to use?
So I could be totally wrong, but I feel like I've heard a couple dozen before.
Well, you're kind of close. It's 14.
14. Okay. Yeah. Now, so I knew they have. I know they have a bag of them. This goes back to Deflategate, and I know they have they have a bag of footballs. Now there are different footballs for the kickers versus the quarterbacks. Blah blah blah. Yeah. And so you do have specialized footballs. So I know that the league makes the teams. Well, the way it's set up is that each team has to bring the footballs that they'll use on offense, which is why, yeah, Deflategate was ever a thing or a possibility, because the Patriots would have had the footballs before they were given to the officials.
And then each football has to be inspected by the referee, by one of the referees. And how many in a Super Bowl do they get?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm reading this right now. Are you ready? The NFL rules state that each team must bring a dozen footballs that they will use on offense. In addition to the 12 footballs, the home team has to provide 12 backup footballs. All right. Well, that would be three dozen. So I was closer. I said a couple dozen because
yeah,
I knew.
You're right.
All right. I don't feel so dumb this morning then.
I was told that in the Super Bowl, each team gets 18 footballs.
Mm. You were told that?
Yeah.
Interesting. You got quite the connections.
That's what I was told. Now, real quick, this is important, and I'll make it short. 3 days, two nights over at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, right? Two tickets, an airfare round trip, right? Two tickets to the Academy Awards. You get to walk down the red carpet.
Oh, no, my gosh.
And then the best part is the after party. You get a pass to go to the after parties. That's where you meet all the stars.
See, I'm not sure that's my scene. I don't think stars want to rub elbows with me.
I think you'd fit in. But here, and of course, it's all expenses paid.
Oh,
right?
I have to quit my job in order to accept something like that, because that might be something like payola. It might be accepting special favors.
No, it's just coming from a friend.
Oh.
Coming from a friend.
Should I, but you're talking about it here on the radio. Should I quit my job to take advantage of that type of an offer?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know nothing.
All right, well, you be safe.
One more thing.
Okay, hurry up.
Stop with this stuff. If you want your light...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Taken care of. Just give me a call and don't forget about it. Okay.
Oh, I like it. Except I don't want you to go to jail either.
Don't forget about it.
My friend Chicago Johnny, who works for the mob museum. The museum, not the actual mob, right, Johnny?
Correct.
Correct.
I'm correct. I have no idea what you're talking about there, babe. I don't know what you're talking about.
Nice.
I don't know nothing.
I'm going to tell my husband he might take you up on that offer. We're going to have to bury the evidence.
Yeah, Jeff, give me a call, and I will, if you want to put me back on hold, I'll talk to your producer. I want to give you my phone number.
Oh, we can't leave a trail. We can't leave a trail. We have to do this very clandestine.
All right, I'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'll figure something out.
All right,
out.
You be safe.
You have a good day, dear. Take care.
There can't be evidence. We can't be talking about it on national radio that my friend Chicago Johnny in Vegas, who works for the Mob Museum, has offered to take care of the neighbor and that obnoxious light. We've not given up, but we're feeling a little beat down right now. We definitely lost the first few battles, even though we feel like eventually we'll win the war. It's kind of a bummer. Still shining so brightly. At A-Law Radio, coming up next, your candidates for TD of the Week. Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the holiday weekend. If you're back and we're reconvening, we never left. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown.
Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown.
Feathers helping into the end zone. Touchdown.
To cast your vote for the TD of the Week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Three receivers to the right. Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game. An 11-yard touchdown. Playoff Pat to playoff Kelce. And the Chiefs lead 19-12.
Washington Commanders.
Pressure up the middle. Goff has time.
Over the end, picked off! That is picked off by Quan Martin! 25-20! 15! 10! 5! Pick! 6! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Quan Martin!
The Buffalo Bills.
There's the snap. Handoff goes. No, it's an Allen keeper, and he's going to run it in! A 4-yard touchdown run on the read option keeper by Allen! 17 is a scoring machine. Simply put, no one scores points like Josh Allen. He is the Michael Jordan of the NFL.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts in the gun on first down. He goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. That'll lock it up.
Terrific moments for the winning teams who advance to the Final Four in the NFL. Travis Kelce, what you don't hear on the other end of that touchdown pass is Patrick Mahomes, who's falling forward as he delivers it. It wasn't one of those typical rope passes that we see from Mahomes, but it got to its target, and Kelce, for some reason, was standing all alone, wide open there in the back of the end zone. Mitch Holtis with the call on Chiefs Radio, and yes, another 100-yard receiving game for Travis Kelce. The Chiefs only managed 50 yards rushing, and Kelce had more than half of their total offensive yards. But that's the relationship and the productivity between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce into their seventh straight AFC Championship game. The Washington Commanders, a 6 seed. They have survived to the NFC Championship, first time for them since 1992 and the days of Joe Gibbs. And Quan Martin and that defense, opportunistic, a big reason why his pick six off Jared Goff, one of 5 turnovers by the Lions on Saturday. Bram Weinstein with the call there on Commanders Radio. Josh Allen dragging bodies with him like he does for his second rushing touchdown of the Bills' victory over the Ravens, which I suppose technically you could call an upset. I think that's kind of dumb. But Buffalo needing all of those rushing yards and, of course, needing Josh to be, as Chris Brown calls him, a beast. And he also got help from his friends. They were pushing the pile forward and across that line. But it's pretty incredible with the size, the bulk, the strength of Josh Allen that he can drag people along with him as he decides he's heading into the end zone. On Bills radio, that was the second touchdown for Josh right before halftime. And then finally, Saquon Barkley capping a 200-yard day against the Rams again. Eagles radio with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick and a 78-yard scamper. And before he even gets in the end zone, he's smacking himself on the helmet. He's running through the back of the end zone in the snow. The joy on his face, even from underneath his helmet, is so evident. He's exuding that joy, and I can't help but be happy for Saquon and his triumph there in Philadelphia this year. Goodness. He's already over, he's probably pretty close to 2,400 yards for the entire season now, if you count playoffs as well. What is the After Hours Touchdown of the Week as we roll into a Touchdown Tuesday? It's, let's see, two of these left. Maybe only one of them left because it's kind of hard with the Super Bowl. You don't know if you'll have enough to put a poll together. But a TD of the Week poll that could be our penultimate Touchdown of the Week poll. You'll find it online at Amy After Hours. So that's where we originate all of our polls from. And then following that, I'll retweet it at A-Law Radio. And then I'll throw it up on our Facebook page as well. So yeah, lots of touchdowns between college and the NFL. And this time it's neat, right? So divisional round works for us because we get our Game of the Week poll that features four candidates, and that's it. There's only four games, so no one gets left out. And then when we get to our Monday MVP, we pick one from each of the winners. And now TD of the Week, also one from each of the winners. So the poll is now up, and on the back end, following the update, we'll reveal your choice for our Monday MVP. Plus, a little more from Dan Campbell as the Lions exit at the hand of the Commanders. Is the Lions Super Bowl window closed? That was a question posed to Dan Campbell on Monday, which blows me away. When your kindergarten teacher told you there's no such thing as a stupid question, she lied to you. That is a stupid question. I'm glad I don't know who asked it, because I'm just glad. And so the Commanders dispatching the Lions, and now they're cleaning out their lockers. Same thing with the Houston Texans, as well as the Rams over the weekend, too. And I know Cooper Kupp being asked the same question that Matthew Stafford's getting about whether or not he will play next year. Tough to ask right in the wake of a loss. But generally, when the emotions die down, you get a more accurate answer, I guess, accurate idea of what these guys will do moving forward. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, Amel. Notre Dame started the game on an 18-play scoring drive that took 9 minutes and 45 seconds. Problem was, they eventually had to give Ohio State the football.
Will Howard in the shotgun gets the snap. Howard back to throw. Sets up, looks all over, takes off running. Will Howard now throws into the end zone, wide open, and it's Judkins with a catch for the score. Will Howard started to run right up the middle, but he finds Quinshon Judkins on a 6-yard TD pass play.
Quinshon Judkins added two more scores on the ground. Will Howard threw for 231 and two touchdowns. Ohio State bounced Notre Dame 34-23. Call courtesy of the Ohio State Radio Network. Notre Dame rallied from 31-7 down, cut it to 31-23, but Howard found Jeremiah Smith 56 yards on a 3rd-and-11 with 2:38 remaining. That iced it with a late field goal. Ohio State, your national champions for the first time in 10 years. Bears won the Ben Johnson sweepstakes as Johnson becomes the 19th head coach in Bears history. Former Lions offense coordinator has been a catalyst in the transformation of the Lions into a 15-win club and one of the best offenses in the league. Now he's charged with taking Caleb Williams to the next level. Lions need to find a new offense coordinator, while defense coordinator Aaron Glenn could be on the move as well. Set to meet with the Saints and the Jets for a second time this week. It'll leave Dan Campbell possibly to find some new pieces, but Campbell won't be making any knee-jerk replacements.
I'm not going to be in a hurry. You know, I'm not in a mad dash. No matter what happens, I want to do what's right by our team and what I believe is going to, you know, those guys will be able to stand in front of that room and command respect and get everybody going in the same direction.
Elsewhere, Colts and new defense coordinator, they go Lou Anarumo, who spent the last 6 seasons with the Bengals. NBA, the Celtics, all of the Warriors, 125-85. Jason Tatum, 22, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. Bulls drove the Clippers 112-99. Cavs ripped the Suns 118-92 behind 33 from Donovan Mitchell. Knicks rallied by the Hawks 119-110. Jalen Brunson at 34. Pelicans outlasted the Jazz in overtime 123-119. CJ McCollum poured in 45. Grizzlies upend the T-Wolves 108-106. Hornets topped the Mavericks 110-105. And the Pistons raced the Rockets 107-96. In baseball, Blue Jays and outfielder Anthony Santander agreed to a five-year deal, $92.5 million. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
First to 10, Washington. Throw through a 41-yard line. Snap to Daniels. Quick throw to the opposite side. Terry McLaurin got through two defenders. 50, 40 by 40. 30 by 30. Foot race at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Stays on his feet. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Unreal one by McLaurin!
Oh, my God.
Nothing surprises me with him, honestly, nowadays. And, you know, we're going to have some room to get better this week, but... For him to come out in this hostile environment and put on that kind of performance, it says a lot about him, the person and the player, and the best is still yet to come for him.
Snap to Daniels, third and goal, quick pass. That is a touchdown to Zach Ertz! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
This is a route running clinic by Zach Ertz.
Feels good. Surreal moment just for, you know, Washington fan base, whole DMV. You know, it's just an awesome feeling.
Jaden Daniels as the rookie quarterback for the Washington Commanders. Your choice. Overwhelmingly, more than half of you picking him for Monday MVP. And not a surprise, but here's one little stat nugget that comes up this time of the year. A rookie quarterback has never led his team to a Super Bowl win. Could the Commanders be the first? It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network. Wowzers. Thinking about the possibilities and Jaden Daniels and how they started that transformation from the top down with the new ownership is pretty incredible. The call there on Commanders Radio and this portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life. The easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. I've noticed lately I say wowzers a lot, not just on the air, but also in my personal life, which is kind of funny. I don't know where I picked it up. Sometimes I'll pick something up because I hear someone else say it, and then it becomes part of my vernacular for a while until I hear myself say it too much, and then I decide, never mind, I'm done with that, and I come up with something else. 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us. Good morning. If you're heading into a shortened, truncated work week, well, that's kind of nice. It's going to be party hardy in Columbus. Well, it already is. But when the Ohio State football team gets back home, no doubt they will have a big rally and a party. So that's awesome. First national championship for the Buckeyes in a decade. And considering where they were seven weeks ago, that's how long it's been since the loss to Michigan. When people were ready to run Ryan Day out of town, this is quite the phoenix display, rising from the ashes, if you will. So we'll talk about it more at the top of the hour. And if you missed my conversation with Ralph Russo, who covers college sports and was there at the national championship at Mercedes-Benz, great stuff with him. We kind of went through the process of evaluating and grading this first 12-team playoff in three categories: entertainment, competitiveness, and then the structure, more of the logistics. And so his answers, I think, are fascinating. I don't love how long it took. I don't love that it's been 7 weeks since rivalry weekend, 7 weeks since November 30th when Ohio State and Michigan clashed. I really don't love that. I feel like the national championship lost a lot of buzz because it's mixed up with the NFL now, and because it was a holiday weekend, and because American sports fans, as rabid as they might be, can only manage so many of these big games that you just can't miss. So the conversation with Ralph, I think, is a thoughtful one, and I'd love to hear your reaction to this idea of maybe pushing the playoff back so that the championship is earlier in January like it was for a few years there when we had the ill-fated four-team playoff. Also, while you're online, vote for the TD of the week. So at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, and as soon as I have a chance here, I'll throw it up on our Facebook page, named after the show. The Commanders, obviously, shattering the hopes and dreams of the Lions fan base. And we know Dan Campbell was extremely emotional in the wake of that loss, even breaking down. Producer Pete, I know where the numbers are, but if you tell me if you have the access to the audio from the weekend, Producer Pete was not with us. He was celebrating a birthday. How was your birthday, by the way?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. Happy birthday.
Relaxing.
Glad you had the weekend off. If you can find the audio from Campbell where he was crying, it was a little bit longer of a cut, but it was worth listening to. Only because he broke down talking about how much these guys give over the course of a season and how they poured everything into it.
It hurts. It's hard. You know, when you lose these games, man, it's like the players. You know, what they put into it, a lot of people don't know, you know, what they go through. You have to get up, bodies beat to shit, and, you know, mentally stay locked in and do those things. So, long season. It's my fault.
So if you didn't hear it at the end, the follow-up question there was what happened with the 12 men on the field penalty, which was later in the game, and he said it was his fault. I know that got taken out of context in some places, but he did claim responsibility for their loss as a leader and a head coach should do. So he gets broken up there. He's teary, but even as he meets the media and does the exit interviews on Monday, he did talk about again how much this hurts, not just him, but the players.
I got a text from St. Brown at 4:00 in the morning after that game, you know? So I know the guys it eats away at, and they're the right guys or our guys for a reason.
And so he said he got a text from Amon-Ra and recognizes that they're still stewing in it. They're still hurting over it. But that tells him who he has on his roster and who he has in his locker room and how much this matters. And he also talks about failure. And I think this is so powerful because it's not just a football lesson. It's not just a football philosophy. This is life. This is real life from Dan Campbell.
When you have the right guys and you're made the right way, failure only makes you stronger. Man, you only come back better. I believe that. And unfortunately, I've had a ton of those. But man, I think it makes you, God, it makes you hungry.
I don't love that old adage of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, because I think it's kind of a blanket cliche and it doesn't always apply. But the idea behind it, the sentiment behind it is true. Failure's only the end if you give up. Failure is only the end if you allow it to dictate whether it's fear of failing again, whether it's believing the lie that you're not good enough or you can't do it. Yeah, failure for people who refuse to give up and who have the character, and that's what he's talking about, it actually can be a powerful elixir, an even more powerful motivator to keep going. And along the way, you learn from your mistakes. So it's not just about the mental and the spiritual and the emotional motivation. It's also about, hey, we got better because we messed up. We won't mess up in that case next time. Theoretically, we'll learn from those mistakes and forget artificial intelligence. How about human intelligence? How about just I? It's not artificial. It's real for human beings to learn from what they did incorrectly or to learn from what worked in the past and what didn't work in the past. Now, someone asked Dan Campbell about the Super Bowl window, which I think is ridiculous considering their young talent, but also the fact that they had, 37 players on their defense on IR this year. But he did answer.
That core group is still intact, and some of these guys are now, you know, we've signed some back, some are up on contracts, and that'll be ongoing. But, yeah, we absolutely do, you know. And I think the most important thing is you want to know you got your culture, you got your identity, and you got players and that fit into that. And we've got that. Like, we got players in every pivotal position you can ask for to have success. And those guys are made the right way. So absolutely, our window is open.
Dan Campbell not mincing words, not as emotional. And it's interesting, the reaction to him crying. It doesn't bother me. I think he's authentic. I think he's real. I think that's how he develops the relationships with the players, is that he's that intense, whether good or bad, whether the situation is a positive or a negative, he's that immersed in it. He's that all in. And that means he's as committed as the players are. You never have to wonder if your coach is going to work late nights and early mornings and it be available when you need him. You never have to question whether or not your coach is devoting as much of the mental and the physical as you are to the task at hand. And also, he's setting the tone. And he mentions culture, identity, and players. And yes, Detroit still has all of that. So forget the window thing. It's open as long as they want it to be open. But he's right. They have the building blocks and the pieces in place. They just got to get over the hump. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.